Hello and welcome back to another episode of Kadri Talks Football. As you can see, I've changed locations again. I'm trying to get the right setup. I'm trying to get the right place. But that's not important. We're here to talk about football. So before we get into the video, please like, comment, subscribe. All of the nice things help us grow. And then, if you do not like seeing my face, I found a solution for you guys. So I'm now uploading audios to Spotify and Apple. So check me out on Spotify and Apple podcasts. The link will be in the comments. And or you can just search for Kadri Talks Football on any of those platforms. So let's get into the Premier League. So Premier League is well and truly back. Lots of interesting games. In summary, everyone's doing pretty well, if you ask me. Well, that's what I got from this weekend. But let's talk about the game. So I'm not going to be like one of those guys that don't watch a football game and then try and give you an analysis on it. No, I'm going to only talk about the games I actually watched. And I watched 790 minutes this weekend. And I'm going to talk about those seven games. And maybe I've seen highlights of every other game. Maybe one or two people that stood out for me. We'll see as the video goes on if I am interested in sharing that much information with you guys. But let's get into the video anyway. I'm going to start with the biggest game of the weekend, and that was Liverpool versus... I'm just joking. City versus Chelsea. That was, that caught me off guard. I expected a City win, yes. But I did not expect a good Chelsea performance. Chelsea really played well. I expected, in my predictions, in my top 6-7-ish prediction in the last video, I did not even give Chelsea a chance, to be in any of those positions, because it's just been disappointing based on everything I've seen. But the performance against City was not bad at all. They were positionally good. We could see the pattern of plays they were trying to play. We do know Enzo Maresca is a possession-based manager, but he did well to adjust the system against City. And they hit City on the counter and actually had good opportunities. And if their strikers could finish a meal, they probably would have gotten a result. So that has actually caught me off guard. There's this discussion online about Enzo's performance, whether if it was it good, was it bad. To me, it was average. He wasn't the best, but it wasn't as bad as people say he was. There's the issue of finding the right position for him. This guy came in as a deep line playmaker. He's played as a box to box. Now he's playing as a 10. And no one knows his best position. This was the dilemma we had with Pogba when he was at United. And it's crazy. I think for the money they paid for him, yes, you could say that's definitely not a good performance, because for 100 million, you should get more than what you're getting from him. I think I saw a record where he's played 30-something games. He's won 14, lost 19 in the Premier League. His record is outrageous. He's not the player that elevates your team. And when you pay 100 million for a player, you need that player to elevate your team. I was one of Pogba's biggest critics. I'm not English, please don't judge me. But anyway, I was one of Pogba's biggest critics because of the money they paid for him. Now, Pogba wasn't necessarily a bad signing for United. If you look at how he performed for United, it wasn't bad compared to even the guys that have been signed in recent times. When you look back at it, it wasn't a bad signing. His performances were okay. But because of the amount they spent on him, I expected more from him. I would always say, before the game even starts, Pogba should have scored a goal because of the money they paid for him. And now we have 100 million signings like Enzo just stinking up the place, and people hardly even batting an eye. So he's not a player that elevates your team. He's a player that that adds to the team. He's there to make the pass to the person that will make the pass that kills the game. But I don't know what it is. He wasn't a great performance. Jackson was terrible. He's this strong, quick guy. He holds the ball really well. Like, he does everything right, but just can't finish. It's like he loses a brain cell sometimes. But he's actually a good striker. He's a dilemma. I do not understand him, because I can't call him a bad striker. I watch him and I'm impressed. By the end of the game, I'm like, this guy was shit again. It makes no sense. But yeah, now I was impressed with Chelsea. I think if they keep up with that performance, they should find themselves in good positions this season. And my top six prediction would just be rubbish at the end of the day. But let's see. They did start last season very well against Liverpool. They outplayed us even. But ended up shit anyway. So let's just see how it goes for them. And for City, you know, it was comprehensive for them. It could have been better. Maybe it's because I hold City to higher standards that they themselves have set. So now, every performance I look and I'm like, I've seen them do better. But maybe that's not how it should be. But that's how I look at them now. I just hold them to such high standards. And when they play like the rest of us, it's like, wow, these guys actually are not that great. But if I was to go off based on my honest analysis, they were not that great. Or maybe Chelsea was just that good. But at the end of the day, it was a comprehensive win for them. I'll highlight certain people. So Kovacic, one of my best performers from the weekend. He played his anchorman role where he drops deep, collects the ball, drives forward, makes the pass. And oh my God, he did that beautifully well. There's another person I'm going to mention in this video who to me was the best performer this weekend. Also played the anchorman role. Doku ran away from Kukurea. Like I was like, okay, Kukurea has actually come in to, you know, show himself this season. He actually chased Doku away from the wing, but then to his demise, Savio took over from that wing. And what Savio did, that was a demolition. Like, he destroyed Kukurea. Was Doku, who ran away from him, went to the other wing and destroyed Gusto. Like, there's always this talk about Pep ruining football. Yeah, when you think about it, he's had some of the most skillful wingers we've ever seen. He had Sané, he had Sterling, he had Doku, he has Savio now. He had Douglas Costa in Bayern Munich, he had Ribéry. Like, he's had some of the best dribblers in his time. Maybe this talk about him running football is not as true as people try to make it seem, because, you know, he has this system where things must go the way he wants them to go. But nah, Doku and Savio, they had fun. And I love Gusto. He's, to me, one of the best right backs in the league. But what Doku did to him was a violation. Doku could have even made a claim to be my man of the match, because he's one of these guys that his end product is probably not the best, but for 90 minutes, he will go at you. If you're a fullback, you will know that he's there. He will go at you. It would be like you've offended him or something. That's the way Doku plays. And Haaland scored a goal as usual, usual business. De Bruyne had a fairly good game too. You know, usual business for City. 37 games to go. See if they can win the title. For me, that performance, the performances against United and now Chelsea, have not given me enough to say they would win the title. But City, they usually start slow, pick up at the end of the season, and then end up winning the league. I hope that's not the case this season. But then again, I don't want Arsenal to win the league. Although I predicted them to win the league, because, you know, bias aside, I think they are good. They are probably ready to win the league now. But when I include my bias, I'd rather City just makes all of us look like farmers and we all suffer, because that's what they wanted when Liverpool tried to win the league. But anyway, that was the game. City won 2-0. And yeah, good. Next game I'm talking about is Liverpool versus Ipswich. That was a game of two halves. Ipswich played really well in the first half. Like, I know I predicted them to go down, but that performance was like, wait, no, these guys actually might stay. But I don't know. It was, maybe, you know, the fans were up for it. First game back in the Premier League after over 20, 30 years. So, you know, maybe that was the performance to show, like, oh, we've missed the Premier League. And then when everything settles down, everyone will be like, okay, no, you're in the Premier League, relax. But that was a great performance. If there was like anything to hold them for, like, as a Liverpool fan, I watched the game saying Liverpool were bad in the first half. But then, as a football fan, I would putting my bias aside, it is more of Ipswich had a good first half. Like, they were really good. They actually had a plan and they were executing it to perfection. I'm going to highlight two people that I thought were really good and will be good throughout the season. And if you play FPL, you know, this might be good advice for you. Omari Hutchinson and Greaves. Omari Hutchinson, I think, is the guy that will carry them in terms of assisting and scoring. I think that is the guy, that is their main guy. He was really good. He's really quick. He can dribble. And maybe if he works on his shot, he will get a couple goals this season. But he was really good against us in the first half, at least. Then there's Greaves. He is a unit. He's quick. He's strong. He's big. He's tall. He's the reason we did not hit five against them. And he was also the reason they could have scored against us. Like, he's a threat in the air. I think he was probably winning all the headers from their set pieces. So, I like Ipswich. I liked the way they played against us. I like their fans also. They were very respectable. And we'll see how the season goes for them. But my best performance this weekend was Gravenberch. He was the anchor man that I was talking about. Like, that was a performance. That was brilliant from him. I wanted Zubimendi. Like, I did a personal analysis based off like the type of DM we want, and some Liverpool fans that were telling me they want like a destroyer, a Tchouaméni, a prime Casemiro type defensive midfielder, or Fabinho type. Zubimendi is not that guy. Based off how Slot plays, we want to hold possession, and except we're playing City or Arsenal, I don't see any other team that would really hold more possession against us. So I wasn't necessarily like that. I don't really care about that big, you know, destroyer in the defensive midfield. No, I wanted someone that can caress the ball, someone that can take care of the ball properly. That's why I really wanted Zubimendi. But he rejected us, and then Gravenberch was like, why do you guys care? Like, I'm here. And he showed us, like, I really loved his performance. He was so good, especially in the second half. He dropped deep, received the ball, made those runs, exactly like how I talked about Kovacic, but even better for me, because he was also making like those final passes, like line breaking passes, which if we see more of this season, is going to be immense. If Elliot doesn't start, you know, Gravenberch might make a claim for a young player of the season, but that's the discussion for another day. Szoboszlai, talking about Elliot, so Szoboszlai was really good. You know, I criticized Szoboszlai for not being creative enough, and that's why I preferred Elliot over him. But in that game, he was creative. Like, he made those kind of passes that I expected him to make when we first signed him. Because people were saying, this is our KDB. But I didn't see any of that. He was just a guy that could run and shoot. But this game, he made line-breaking passes. He played as a 10. And defensively, he was really good. He makes us secure. That's why coaches like him. Very good performance from him too. And then Salah was just Salah. Like, brilliant guy all over. Like, keeps on breaking records. If we the day we lose this guy, it's going to be as sad as losing Klopp, probably even sadder, because as good as Klopp was, I watched Salah on the pitch. I just saw Klopp shout once in a while on the touchline. Who else? Trent was really good. That is a unicorn, I'll be honest. People talk about generational talent and they try to mention people like Foden or Kobbie Mainoo. Like, those are really good players. Generational talent is Trent. That boy, what he does, you don't see that. You don't see that every day. You look back in time and you can't tell me players that were playing like Trent. You think about it, like, in the future, would there be someone like Trent? No, I doubt it. Like, he's a generational talent. He's a unicorn. Defensively, he was so secure. Like, that's another thing people like to talk about, that this guy's not good defensively. That's a lie that has spread, because Rashford dribbled him in his debut season. But defensively, he was secure. Creatively, he was perfection. And he's the reason, or one of the reasons, why we won the game. Diaz is another person I like to mention. Like, he does a lot, but does nothing. That's all I'll say on him. He annoys me. I love him, but he annoys me. He can be a donkey. Most of the time, he's a donkey. But that's it. Good game, good win for Liverpool. Good start to the season, which is, you know, always nice. These 3 points will be crucial at the end of the season, you know, when all the points are accumulating. So it's good to start off well. And let's just see how it goes. At the moment, I like the way we play. The second half, if we play like the second half in every game, the people that will get it will get it. Next game to cover, I'll talk about United versus Fulham. That's another game that I know it's Fulham, like they're not necessarily a big team, but I expected, you know, United to be United. I expected them to concede chances. I expected them to play, you know, like we know them to play under Ten Hag. But they were good. I'll be honest. I don't like the fact that they were good, but they were good. They did not concede a lot of chances. They were secure in midfield. They were compact. And that's one thing they never are. Bruno wasn't too far from Casemiro. Casemiro wasn't too far from Mainoo. And that made everything work. And just like they played against City, they played this, you know, cute little passes that opened up the defense. There was a pass Casemiro gave to Bruno, which blew my mind. Like, there was like a deflection and the ball ended up Casemiro, and he played it one time to Bruno. And I'm like, okay, wow, this guy's actually playing really well. And it's worrying. Not that I think they'll pose a threat for the rest of the season. It's just, I just hate seeing them happy. But I'll be honest and give a honest review. They were really good. Amad Diallo is a really good player. I really like that boy. He's, you know, he's going to be a mainstay in United, or at least in the Premier League, if United decide not to keep him. Bruno is just Bruno. I hate on Bruno, and for the right reasons. You know, he's not the guy that will give security in midfield. He's always going to lose the ball. And people will tell you that because he's a creative player. No, I've watched creative players. I've watched Ozil play. I've watched Kaká. I've watched De Bruyne. I've watched Lampard. I've watched this guy. And they don't just throw the ball for throwing it sake. But anyway, I'm not here to make comparisons. I think at some point, regardless of how not beautiful certain players' games are, their effectiveness cannot be overlooked. And Bruno is one of them guys. We can talk about this and that, but at the end of the day, this guy will give you a goal or an assist. And that is all you need in a game of football. Like, you can be defensively secure and whatever, but if you don't score, you're not winning the game. And that's what Bruno provides, and I respect him for it. Very good player. Rashford was mid. Mid is the perfect definition. He wasn't bad, but he wasn't as good as other guys I've mentioned. Casemiro actually had a really good game. I really liked his game. He reminded us about his prime time. Defensively secure in midfield, making the best passes, probably made the best passes in the game. As for Fulham, there's a lot to come from them. ESR, Smith Rowe played, I think 60 minutes, and he was good, but you know, he needs to get used to Fulham. He was trying to play these cute little 1-2s, but you don't get that in a club like Fulham, you know, especially if you're playing against a club like United. You can't be doing all of that, and they couldn't do it. Traore is a donkey. Putting him in the Diaz conversation, like, he does everything right, but just does everything wrong. I'm not saying more than that. Everyone knows Traore and how he is like, so I don't need to expand on that. But yeah, good win for United. A good start. Crucial 3 points, which will be crucial at the end of the day if they're going to qualify for top four or even the top six. Because I didn't predict them. I think I put them in my top six, did I? Yeah, I think I put them in my top six, yeah. So if they're going to qualify for that, these 3 points is going to be necessary for them. Next game I will cover will be Arsenal versus Wolves. Just like City, I put Arsenal in the same category of they could have been better. Maybe it's the standards they've set in the last 2 years that is making me talk like this. Or that is definitely why I'm talking like this. But they won at the end of the day, a comprehensive win. they did concede chances. They could have actually considered. They could have actually not even won the game. But at the end of the day, when you have certain players who can win games for you, you don't have to worry about your performance. Saka claiming clutch, my breakthrough PFA Player of the Year. He is so good. He is like Salah is the reason why we don't speak about Saka as if he's, you know, the best in the league. Like that boy is just, and he's still very young, 23, 24, I think. And there's so much more to come from him. So very good performance. Havertz is someone that has turned his life around. Like, respect. I'm probably one of them guys that hated on him or stated him in the past, and I'm going to, you know, give him the respect he deserves. Maybe when he starts flopping, I'll go back to my original self. I don't mind slating him. I enjoy slating rival players, but he was really good. He has been really good. He's now a constant goal threat, and I feel like he's going to be really. He's one of the players that would elevate them into winning the league. But let's see how that goes. But good performance at the end of the day from them. Wolves, I don't really have any good thing to say about Wolves. It was a fairly good performance from them. But against Arsenal, it was probably the challenge was probably too much for them. All round, they were okay. I can't highlight any single player that caught my attention, to be honest. So I'm not going to speak in depth on that. I think that is it for Arsenal's game. It wasn't the most exciting game, to be honest. It was probably one of the most boring games I saw during the weekend. But that's what Arsenal want. They're not trying to entertain us rival fans, at least. They're just trying to get the wins, and they got the win. That is the most important thing. What game should I cover next? Leicester versus Tottenham. So, my best... I'm going to sound biased, but my best performance or the team that impressed me the most this weekend, overall, over full 90 minutes, I'll say was Liverpool. But you guys will think I'm saying this because I'm a Liverpool fan, but no. That second half performance was so good. Second best performance I saw this weekend. That second half performance. But overall, in 90 minutes, if you consider the first half, the second half, and how the game started and ended, I'll say Liverpool was the best thing for me this weekend. But in terms of the team that had the best time frame performance between first minute and 60th minute, Tottenham had the best performance. I was scared. I was like, wait, no. What's happening? These guys are actually a main business. Like, Maddison was on fire. Solanke is a threat. And I think he's going to score 20 goals this season. I'm putting it out there now. I think Solanke is going to score 20 goals this season. They were so good. Maybe Leicester were just that bad. That could be the case. But nah, they were so good. They did not let Leicester touch the ball. They didn't let them do anything. And then at the 60th minute, everything changed. Leicester just took over the game, and then they scored, and then Tottenham didn't know what to do anymore. That is the problem with this team, and I feel like with time, maybe another year, they will get that mentality, because they lost it immediately Leicester scored, and that's what you get from a team that doesn't have confidence in themselves. And that I think that's what Tottenham are currently suffering for, because style of play, performance wise, they were good. Best performance I saw this weekend. They were actually so good. But I've mentioned the players that impressed me from Tottenham. Not too many people impressed me. But, you know, they played as a unit. Maddison and Solanke stood out for me. And then in terms of Leicester, Fatawu, back to FPL, you know, advice. Fatawu is someone you probably should have in your team. The boy is so good. Left-footed, right winger. He will dribble you. He's strong. He will dribble you. That's basically all I can say. Like, he's them guys where you could do mathematics in your head to try and stop him, and he will just dribble you. And then Jamie Vardy, that is the life of the party. I'm glad he's back to the Premier League, man. When he was leaving, he reminded Tottenham fans that he has one Premier League and they have zero. That is a guy. But then again, you know, there's one thing I want to talk about with that Vardy situation. People are hailing him, you know, they're saying, oh, this is what the Premier League is about. But these same people saying these things will tell you that the reason that they would justify Vinny getting racial abuse as he's always, you know, doing stuff like that. If Vinny was the one doing this, people would tell you, yeah, he deserved to get racist abuse. And this is the world we live in. Black people are not allowed to show emotions. Black people are not allowed to act. But, you know, white people is like, hey, yeah, that's the guy. He's the life of the party. But me, I'm a fan of Vinny and Vardy. I'm not criticizing anyone. I love the antics. That's what the game should be about. Like, football has too many nice guys. With basketball, you see people throwing shades. In American sports, you see people throwing shades at each other. In football, if you say something, everyone be like, oh, you're not setting a good example. That's why I like Mopé. That's why I like Vardy. That's why I like Vinny. Like, we need more of those guys in the sport, man. Like, we need entertainment beyond the football pitch. But yeah, Fatawu, that was the guy, the highlight for me from Leicester. Ndidi actually had a really good performance. Ndidi is playing more of a box-to-box role now than a sitting DM because he was driving into the box a lot of time, could have even gotten a goal. So that is one to watch out for. Ndidi might pop out with some goals, crucial goals for Leicester this season. But who else? Vestergaard had a good performance. But yeah, that was it. Really, really, really interesting game, actually. One of my favorite games from the weekend. And what other games? So I saw two other games, and I'll just quickly go through them. Brentford Crystal Palace and West Ham Aston Villa. So West Ham Aston Villa, that is the battle of the, will I say, mid-table teams. The best mid-table teams. But performance-wise, Aston Villa were clear. They were clear. They played West Ham. West Ham only got their goal from a penalty, which could arguably not have been a penalty. Aston Villa were so good. Onana, in their midfield, what a guy. He's that destroyer, you know, that Liverpool fans are claiming that they want. He's so good, big, quick, strong, and good in the air. And got him his first goal for Aston Villa. Leon Bailey, with that, we saw the best of him from last season, and it looks like he's carrying that into this season. Watkins wasn't really himself, but I think it's because he hasn't really gotten enough pre-season. But they had Rodgers, who was so good. I think that's a new signing also. And then Durant came in and won the game for them. I think in terms of striker options, striker depth, I think Aston Villa have the best in the league. They have Watkins, Rodgers, and Duran. That is crazy. That is a crazy depth. Some of us have Nunes, and that's all we have. But yeah, Aston Villa, like I said, they're finishing in top four. They haven't done anything to make me doubt that prediction. Maybe the teams around them have done enough to make me say, okay, maybe these teams will push them. But no, Aston Villa, I think they will beat these teams. I think they will beat, in terms of performance, I think they will play better than United. They play better than Chelsea. They play Arsenal next, and I think, you know, I'm predicting a Villa result. That's all I'll say, a Villa result, which means they either win or draw. A draw won't be good for Arsenal, so that's why I call it a Villa result, because usually a draw is good for both teams or bad for both teams. And yeah, the last game I will speak about was Brentford Crystal Palace. Two teams that I actually really like, two mid-table teams that do really well. Since Brentford came into the Premier League, they've just stayed. They haven't looked like they are going back down. So that's good for them. Ivan Toney didn't play. Rumors about him leaving Brentford, going to Saudi. Toney. I don't think he's handled his career well. And he's going to be long forgotten. He's not one of them guys that people would look back and say, oh, he was Strees won't forget. I think Strees will forget. Like, he came into Brentford. He came into the Premier League with Brentford. And just the rumors about him wanting to leave. You know, there were videos of him saying, oh, I'm leaving Brentford. I'm leaving a small club. always flirting, saying I was a Liverpool fan, saying I like to play for Arsenal, say I like to play in the Champions League. Like, he's not respected Brentford in any way, and I don't think he deserves any respect with him leaving. Like, he's a good player, really good player, but he should have handled himself really well. And now he's not going to get a Champions League football. He's not going to play in any European football competition. He's going to the Saudi. But for a betting guy, maybe, you know, the money is what he needs. Maybe this is what he needs to stop betting, if the Saudi is paying really well. But yeah, without Tony, they had a good front three. One of the best front threes in the league, if you ask me. Sade, Wissa, and Mbeumo. Oof. Mbeumo, that is a good footballer. At a point, I was thinking, yeah, no, this might, I would like him, because I want a left-footed winger to come into the team to challenge Salah. But at the end of the day, we just know the person is going to sit down the bench. But I wanted Mbeumo at some point. I still like him, to be honest. And funny enough, that guy is just 24 years old. He looks like my dad, but he's just 24 years old. Doctor, I'm saying he looks like my dad. I'm older than him. That is crazy. He's a really young player, really good. He will get you goals. He will create. He can dribble. He can run at you. Like, he's a really good player. And then in terms of Crystal Palace, Eze was probably not his best game, but he got robbed of a goal. Like, I'll be honest, he got robbed of a goal. But can't really blame VAR there. We like to blame VAR for everything, but we can't really blame VAR there. The referee blew the whistle before the ball had gone into the net. And so VAR could not intervene. They could not look at the foul and say, oh, it wasn't a foul, because the referee, the keeper could make a case and say, I didn't dive because the referee blew the whistle. So, yeah. That was it. There wasn't really any standout performance for me from Crystal Palace. Adam Wharton was average. He wasn't good enough for me. I was expecting so much from him. Who else? I like Munoz. He's very tenacious. But yeah, it wasn't the most exciting game. Wissa and Mbeumo won the game for Brentford. And yeah, that was it. Let me see. Is there any team that caught my eye in terms of highlights? Not really, to be honest. Everton got battered. Forest, Bournemouth, it looked, I don't know, based off the highlights, it did not really look exciting to me. Castle, Southampton, yeah, the Fabian Schär red card. I don't think, you know what, no, I've seen people get red card for that. So, and Bertin Diaz made a big deal out of it. You know, he made the referee make a decision. So, fair play to him. By the end of the day, Newcastle still got the win anyway. And so, yeah, that is the start of the season. It's looking exciting. It looks like, you know, so many teams will play really well. I can't point out a bad performance. Leicester's first half was bad. Maybe Everton. I didn't watch the game, so I can't really say if they played well. Maybe the result might be flattering Brighton. Who knows? But all round, great weekend. We look forward to the next weekend of football. And hopefully it is even more exciting for us. So yeah, there we have it, guys. That is my Premier League roundup for the first game week of the Premier League. Tell me what you think. Tell me if I said anything wrong, if you do not agree with anything I said, or if you actually agree, or if there are any points you wish I made, if there are any points you want me to make in the coming videos, or anything you want me to talk about, any challenge you want me to do. You know, as time goes on, I'd like the viewers to be more involved in the production of these videos, in terms of, I don't just want to cover games. I want to do other exciting things and make this more exciting to watch. But yeah, until then, I will see you guys in the next video. Told you guys I'll be consistent. Second video out. Ha! They thought I was joking. Like, comment, subscribe. It's all the nice things. Share the videos so that we can get even bigger. Check me on Spotify and Apple Music if you do not like my face. And I will see you guys.